This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. On the night of April 28th last year, Captain Pat Ellis of the Boston Fire Department knew the situation was bad when he saw college students jumping from the windows of a burning house on Linden Street in Alston. He reached for his radio and called for backup.
We have heavy smoke showing from the two-story wood frame. We have people jumping from the upper floors. Captain Ellis, second alarm.
As the flames engulfed the home, firefighters realized that one of the many people living there was trapped upstairs.
Yeah, Joe, we're getting reports we're missing a person in the second floor rear. Before you pull them off, can you do a secondary search of the second floor?
That missing person was 22-year-old Bindland Lee, a student at Boston University, who lived in a room in the attic. As smoke and flames consumed the house, she had no way out. Her death sparked an intense focus on the often dangerous living conditions that face students living off campus in Boston. A year after Bindland Lee's death, the Boston Globe has published a major investigation into the city's college rental ghettos, and its findings are dramatic and troubling. According to the Globe, Boston's efforts to safeguard students and protect city neighborhoods from real estate investors have failed by almost every measure. You can find a link to that investigation, by the way, at radioboston.org. And we're going to dig into that a little bit right now. And joining us to talk about the Globe's investigation is Todd Wallach. He's an investigative reporter on the Metro Desk. He has a byline on this series. And Todd Wallach, welcome to the program. Good to have you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Also want to invite our listeners to give us a call and share their stories about student living around this city, what can be done to enforce the laws on the books. Who's to blame for this kind of overcrowding that we're seeing off campus these days? If you're a student in Boston living off campus, what's your take on this situation? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And Todd, great work and congratulations on that. Really important story. But let's start with this. Broadly speaking, what's the major finding as a result of your investigation?
What we found is that apartments where students live in a lot of student neighborhoods near major colleges aren't just one or two examples where they're crowded in, like that Linden apartment where Bindland Lee died a year ago. Unfortunately, problems are rampant where many, many apartments are dangerously overcrowded. We surveyed several hundred apartments, and one in three, we found that more than four undergrads were living together in apparent violation of a city zoning rule barring four or more full-time undergrads from living together. We found that many had tons of problems. They were reporting rodents and bed bugs and broken appliances and broken locks and broken doors, making it difficult to secure themselves. There was a case of a double rape because there was a door that wasn't locked properly. And the city seems to be hapless in its ability to rein in this dangerous overcrowding. Mm. We found that many of their records exist only on paper, so they're not even sure what percentage of apartments they inspected last year or how many violations they issued. And the schools appear to be complicit in that they are adding tremendous amounts of new students without building additional housing to accommodate all of them. So they've built a little bit of housing, but it has not kept pace, so much so that the number of students living off campus has increased by 36% since 2006 to more than 45,000. And it's visible not only inside these apartments, but in entire neighborhoods where families are disappearing more and more. Investors are coming in and buying up triple-deckers and other buildings, cramming them full of students and making money off of it.
Well, Todd, there's a lot to jump into here, and I want to talk about all of this. I mean, there's the responsibility of the colleges and the universities. There's the question of why the students are choosing this kind of housing. And then, of course, there's oversight by the city. But let me pick up on this last point that you mentioned. Why is this a good deal for investors? I mean, a lot of these houses look awfully rickety and run down. Are they really moneymakers?
They are indeed moneymakers. But the way that they're moneymakers is by charging very high rents. And the way that students can afford those rents is by having lots and lots of roommates. And a lot of landlords have been willing to carve up the houses in ways that are unimaginable. So we're used to old housing stock and a lot of buildings and that are carved up a little oddly, but there are lots of illegal attic apartments and basement apartments in places where they're not proper exits. So students are being crammed in so many ways, they have to often go through another bedroom to get to their bedroom. And unfortunately, when tragedy strikes and there's a fire like that awful one a year ago, some of the students can't get out. They're trapped and at risk causing deaths or injuries when students leap from the windows and survive, but fall on the ground.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to enforcement of city codes, first of all, what do the codes say about how many students should be in each apartment, may be in each apartment?
Sure. Well, there are some things where many of the apartments we found have illegal units that have never been properly permitted and inspected. And broadly, there's a city zoning rule that's been on the books since 2008 that bars more than 4 full-time undergraduates from living together, sharing quarters. And that was designed to help deter this overcrowding, to deter landlords from allowing too many people from crowding in to these old houses. And we found that it's just widely ignored. The city couldn't think of a single instance where they've actually issued a citation for violating it. We found that students either didn't know about the rule or ignored it. Many brokers were openly willing to rent apartments to students that we sent, who also work for the Globe. As long as they were willing to pay enough rent, they could cram as many students as they wanted into those units.
Mm. Now, when it comes to enforcement of these codes by the city, is this a case of understaffing, under-enforcement? Give us a sense of what you found there.
Well, there are a number of issues. One is that the city has historically not even been sure of where the apartments are or how many. They've only recently started registering apartments and requiring landlords to register with the city. Another issue is they're not even sure whether this rule is enforceable, and they're under the impression that they can only go in to an apartment they're invited in when the tenants complain. There've even been cases like where BU has given them a list of all the apartments where they know more than 4 BU students are living, and the city hasn't done anything with that information.
Very interesting. Well, we put out a call to City Hall about this. We wanted to get someone from Mayor Walsh's administration to come on the show. We did get a statement from City Hall, and I'm just going to read it. This came from City spokeswoman Lisa Pollack, and she writes, this is the statement: "The Spotlight series on off-campus student housing presented by the Boston Globe is thoughtfully and thoroughly reported. This is an issue that our new administration has been working on in our first 100 days and one we take very seriously. The article raises critical questions about protecting the right of every resident to housing that is clean and safe, balancing the need for student housing with preserving the quality of life and safety in our neighborhoods." So a statement there from spokeswoman Lisa Pollack in the administration of Mayor Marty Walsh. Todd Wallach, does that sound like it sounds like you got their attention?
Yes, and that's what we were trying to do. I don't know that we all realized exactly how common these problems were and how common illegal, overcrowded apartments are. But clearly, the consequences can be dire, as we saw in the death of Binlan Lee a year ago.
Well, let me ask you about that, because, of course, that's a terrible tragedy. But do you link that directly to overcrowding and these kinds of issues that we're talking about?
I think the link is clear, because she was in an illegal apartment crowded with 13 other roommates. So there were 14 students in that building. It was more than was allowed under the zoning ordinance. The apartment that she was in was illegal because there was no other exit other than the stairs, which were filled with smoke. And so she was trapped. And so, unfortunately, we found that there are a lot of apartments like this. We hired an inspector to visit 3 apartments where students invited us in and found 50 violations.
Yeah. Listeners, we're talking to Todd Wallach. He's an investigative reporter for the Boston Globe. If you haven't seen it, you should. You can find a link to the series that the Globe has done spotlighting off-campus student housing in Boston and really some of the deplorable conditions that many students are facing in this housing. And we've been talking about some pretty dire cases as well, including the case of Binlin Lee, who died in a fire in an overcrowded house last year. If you want to join the conversation, we're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. If you have experience with this kind of housing, if you've got questions or comments, please feel free to join us. And let me introduce another guest into our conversation. Mike Ross is a former city councilor. He also ran for mayor last year. He's a regular on our show. He worked with many of these issues when he was in City Hall, and he joins us from his office in Boston, the law firm of Prince Lobel. And Mike Ross, good to have you back.
Great to be back. It's good to be with you both.
I know that this is an issue that you paid attention to when you were on the city council. What's your take on what's going on here and why the city hasn't done more to crack down on these issues?
It's really, first of all, the reporting the Globe did was excellent. This series, Shadow Campus, I hope people read it. I hope policymakers read this. It's a triple threat, as I like to call it. It's one, we have a exploding real estate market here in Boston, even without the college campuses. Now add the success of some of our colleges, many of which used to be commuter colleges like Northeastern and Suffolk, now scrambling to create housing. So that puts a tremendous strain on the market and a demand on the market. Two, the real estate industry itself. You read in the reporting that the industry is flagrantly and deliberately breaking rules, breaking laws, allowing students to sign up if they're off lease or other ways and tricks and workarounds, encouraging their tenants not to have inspections. So the industry itself is complicit in these activities. And three, we have a city agency that's not equipped to handle it for a number of reasons. The industry itself is moving faster than the city is. This often happens with government.
But when you say not equipped to handle it, do you just mean not enough people power, not enough people handling the complaints and just able to get out there?
From a technology perspective, a lot of the reporting talks about how much of this is paper, not online, in computers. A lot of it's in paper. I think from a focus point of view, I think the city's focus, the Inspection Services Department is focused across the city at all housing, but I think that it's quite obvious that streets like Linden Street and neighborhoods like Alston and Mission Hill need to have a closer focus. And I think the intensity of really going after some of these cases, I think if the city were to really, make an example of a couple of these properties, I think you would see a change. But as the reporting showed that there are in some cases the city themselves, the Inspection Services Department themselves, could not recall a single case of overcrowding that they took to its final conclusion. So, the city needs to move quickly. I do believe that the new administration, the Marty Walsh administration, is moving on this. They have a lot of work to do in this area.
It sounds like there's a big sort of catch-up job that they have to do here. Let's take a couple of calls. We've already got some listeners backed up. Listeners, we're talking about overcrowded off-campus student housing in Boston and the powerful Globe investigative series. With us is Todd Wallach, reporter for the Globe, and Mike Ross, former city councilor. Let's go to Jody, who's calling from Westwood. Hi, Jody. You're on the air.
Hi. It doesn't affect just the college students, but young professionals. My son, who was a recent grad, moved into an apartment in Alston, and it was absolutely a slum. It had roaches. It had bed bugs. It had mice. It had the whole condition of the apartment, mold, you name it. We called the ISD in. They were very responsive. They failed the guy on...
When you say ISD, you're talking about Inspection Services Department, City of Boston. Right. Go ahead.
Yes. I was fortunate enough to know where to go and how to deal with the situation and how to get some resolve. But still, it just went on and on. We didn't have heat. It was horrible. And these were young guys who were now young professionals. So
sure.
It's not just the college.
It's not just the students. Jody, thanks so much for the call. And Todd, I wanted to come back to you on Jody's point, because you make the point that all this is having an effect on the stock of housing available to normal folks like Jody's son there. Right?
Yeah, definitely. You can't put all these additional students in the neighborhood without building more housing and not have it have any detrimental effects. Instead, you have more and more people competing for the same amount of housing stock, and the consequences, landlords have much more leverage. They can charge more. They can neglect buildings, and people don't have any way to anywhere to go, and more people are crammed into those existing homes.
Yeah. Mike Ross, I want to come back to you because I'm still sort of struggling with the question of why this has gotten as bad as it has, because, you know, I read in the Globe series, actually, and this is one of the reasons we reached out to you, that when you were a city councilor back in 2007, you successfully argued for an ordinance to combat overcrowding. But here we are 6 years later, 7 years later, and we're still dealing with this problem.
Well, it's a few things. When I was first elected, and you know, the district I represented was Fenway and Mission Hill, and even a little part of Alston when I first was elected. I mean, those were the student neighborhoods. And so I came into a city that didn't have any of the tools that, or most of the tools that the piece actually used to do its reporting. We didn't know how many students lived in certain areas or certain zip codes. We had no idea. Today, we do. We, through a law that we were able to pass, the zoning law, again, there was no rule. You could have 6, 7, 10, 15 people living with each other in one building. There were no rules. There were no zoning. We changed that. So some of those important tools, there were other tools as well. But, you know, some of those tools are now that they're in place, you know, now what? And I'll go back to what Todd said, because this is the bottom line. We could be this could be the best inspectional services department in the country, and it still wouldn't be able to fully to do its job because we don't have enough housing.
Mm-hmm. This goes into That's the issue, isn't it? Just the
it really is.
Yeah, the
I
amount
mean,
of housing.
What Barry Bluestone talks about. We need more housing, any kind of housing, more student housing, more affordable housing, more any housing. Mm. And if we do that, if we build more in this city, what you'll find is some of the pressure on these neighborhoods will, you know, be released. More dorms have to be built.
Well, let me stop you there, Mike, because I'd like to ask Todd that. I mean, what did in your reporting, what did you hear from the universities in terms? Because one of the drivers of this problem, as you point out, is that the universities are hiring, accepting more and more students, but not building more and more housing. So, what are we going to do about that?
Right, and in some cases, they say they're boxed in because in some cases they would like to build more housing. They say, but they face opposition from neighbors. Ironically, those same neighbors that are upset about all the students living in the neighborhood. When you get into it, there are other complications. The neighbors will say, well, the schools want to build new housing in the neighborhoods mm-hmm. rather than on their traditional campus. So you wind up with this face-off where the schools make a proposal, the neighbors find it unsatisfactory, and not enough is getting built. Very little is getting built relative to the number of new students being pumped into these areas.
Well, let's take one more call. Lauren is calling from Cambridge, who I gather had a frightening experience in one of these houses a while back. Lauren, you're on the air.
Hi. When I was in college, this was back in, I think, 1995-ish, I was at a friend's house in Alston, and a fire started. And their apartment was on the second and third floor, and there were a couple bedrooms up on that third floor that I think were illegal. At least one of them was, because it only had a sun, like a skylight as a window. And so there were, I think, five of us in the house. Three of us got out through the stairs, but they were filled with smoke. And so the two people upstairs didn't come down, and they had to climb out the skylight, jump to a back porch, which thank God there was one, and then jump down from there. And they got, like, just a little bit hurt jumping.
Well, thank God. It sounds like everybody got out, so thank God for that. But Todd Wallach, what Lauren's describing sounds like exactly the kind of situation you're writing about here.
Exactly. And so we talked about the tragic death of Binlan Lee and the audio that you played, but there was another student that we wrote about, Josh Goldenberg, mm-hmm. who was seriously hurt in a fire on that same street just a year earlier and was in a coma and suffered some long-lasting damage. There were other kids who have been hurt when porches have collapsed. So we've seen one incident after another, unfortunately, as a consequence of all this dangerously overcrowded housing.
Yeah. Well, Mike Ross, you know, I read the statement from City Hall. It sounds like the new administration of Marty Walsh is taking this pretty seriously. They say it's something they're paying a lot of attention to in their first 100 days. Are you confident that we're going to see some kind of effective response to this? It's clearly not going to be the kind of thing that they're going to be able to turn around in a few months, right? This is going to take some time.
Well, I mean, we'll see how the response goes, but I think there's a need for a short-term response and a long-term response. And like I said, I think with a short-term response, it's what are we measuring, what are we focused on, what are the day-to-day, and what are the examples we're setting, you know, in terms of just straight enforcement. The long-term is how do we build enough housing so that this isn't a problem anymore. I mean, this is a great, think about this for a second. This is a really, in some strange way, a good problem to have, that we have such demand in this city for house, for college students wanting to come here and for housing, that we really should turn this around. We should take advantage of this by building housing, creating jobs, creating revenue, and creating safe places for everyone to live. I think that would be the best way to turn this around, and that can be done in not too long of a period of time.
Well, there's the challenge. And Todd Wallach, before we let both you and Mike Ross go, I know that there's going to be a third part to your series tomorrow. Can you give us a little bit of a preview of what you're going to be talking about?
Yeah. So in the next edition tomorrow, we're going to focus on some of the landlords that have come into this market, some of the investors, and profited on the desperation of students to find housing in this area where there's so little.
All right. Well, that's Todd Wallach, investigative reporter for the Boston Globe. You can find a link to the Globe series on off-campus student housing and some of the deplorable conditions there. Todd Wallach, thanks so much for joining us. Really very grateful.
Thank you.
And Mike Ross, former city councilor, columnist for the Boston Globe. Mike Ross, great to have you. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
Listeners, stay with us. Coming up, Daniel Jones, editor of the New York Times Modern Love column, shares what he's learned about love with the help of some 50,000 strangers. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.